arriba hoy. Nacho, arriba. Nacho.
ॐ गणतुमिनन्दस्य जनजनशलकया चक्षुसुमिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टं स्तुतितं येन भूतले सायं रूपकदा मायां ददति सपनन्तिकम् वंशकोपजुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभैः च कदीचनं भवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः.
Heard the question of Yudhisthira Maharaj, excuse me, not of Yudhisthira Maharaj, but of Prickett Maharaj, asking Sukadeva Goswami about the partiality or the impartiality of the Lord. After all, the Lord had taken the side of Vishnu to protect the demigods headed by Indra. The Lord had taken the side of the demigods, Indra. So that would make him partial. And how could God, the Supreme Lord, the Father of everyone, be partial to one group as opposed to another? So that's his question. That is the question of Prickett Maharaj. And Sukadeva Goswami is very enlivened by the question. Then he answers the question with philosophy and then gives an example, a pastime, which unfolds into the story of Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrisingadev and Hiranyakashipu. But before that, in verses 7 through 6 through 12, he explains philosophically how the Lord acts in a neutral fashion, and he is neither partial to He's not partial to the demigods. Rather, he helps everyone by all his activities. Although he appears to be acting in a partial fashion, that is how it looks. His activities look from the point of view where we are. Because point of view or viewpoint means a point of view, a specific angle of vision. So we have a specific angle of vision, and that angle of vision is covered by the modes of material nature, by Maya, and therefore we see in a particular way. And from that viewpoint, it appears that the Lord is favoring one group, the demigods, the devas, over the other group, the asuras, or the demoniac forces. But actually, he's being kind to everyone. And that really came out also in the sixth canto, when the Lord instructed Indra how to get the weapon known as the Vajra, the thunderbolt. And using that weapon, Indra attacked Vritrasura. And when Vritrasura understood that the Lord had given or instructed Indra, practically he had sided on one level with the demigods, he understood that he was going to die by the hand or through this thunderbolt weapon. And therefore he said, "You, Indra, are going to kill me with this weapon, so don't hesitate, for your desires will be fulfilled. You will get, after you kill me, you will attain the rulership over heaven. That is what you want. And by your killing me, I will go to the spiritual world. And that is what I want." So who is actually the Lord favoring? He asked. You will gain heaven, and I will gain the lotus feet of the Lord. So who is actually the Lord favoring? So he's equal to everyone. Samaham sabhabhuteshu name dvesho stina priya. Yeyatamam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. He gives everyone, he reciprocates with everyone according to everyone's desires. But he is equal. But everyone desires differently. So this is one level of what is going on. And that's the basic level, but there is also, that will be explained, but also there is another level going on, and we'll hear about that also. I think both will come up. So in the sixth verse, we've gone over this briefly, but we're going to read Prabhupada's purports now. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is always transcendental to material qualities, and therefore he is called nirguna, or without qualities. Because he is unborn, he does not have a material body to be subjected to attachment and hatred. Although the Lord is always above material existence, through his spiritual potency, he appeared and acted like an ordinary human being, accepting duties and obligations apparently like a conditioned soul. We'll read Prabhupada's purport. Basically, we'll understand that the Lord, even though apparently acting as if a human, he is not controlled by those things that control human beings. His actions are all by his internal energy, his sarup shakti, the spiritual energy, not by mahamaya, not by the illusory energy, as we are controlled. So everything is going on according to his desire and his will, although what is his desire and will may make him appear to be human-like. Prabhupada's purport, we'll read part of it, starting in the second paragraph. In Bhagavad Gita 9.11, the Lord clearly says, Ava jananti mam mudha manushyam tanam ashritam. Fools deride me when I descend in a human form. Krishna appears on this earth or within this universe without any change in his spiritual body or spiritual qualities. Indeed, he is never influenced by the material qualities. He is always free from such qualities, but he appears to act under material influence. This understanding is aropita, or an imposition. Therefore, Krishna said, janma karma cha me dibhyam. Whatever he does, being always transcendental, has nothing to do with material qualities. Evam yo veti tatvata. Only devotees can understand the truth of how he acts. The fact is that Krishna is never partial to anyone. He is always equal to everyone. But because of imperfect vision influenced by material qualities, one imposes, that's the word of aropita, one imposes material qualities upon Krishna. One takes his own consciousness, atmavan manyate jagat, and he takes his own consciousness and implants that on Krishna as if Krishna was subject to the way he thinks. Just like a prisoner in the prison house sees the king enter the prison house. And what is the king doing in the prison house? He's inspecting everything. But he's being walked around by the guards. So what is the prisoner thinking? He's taking his own consciousness that everyone in the prison house is a prisoner and imposing that on Krishna's situation, on the king's situation, and thinking, oh, the king must have done something really bad, and therefore he's also caught in the prison house and the guards are taking him around and leading him to his cell. He's not imagining it because he's seeing something that's true, but he's taking his own consciousness and interpreting the reality of the situation through that consciousness, through his own mind, through his own mental conceptions. And who doesn't do that? So therefore, a living entity imposes his material qualities upon Krishna, and when he does so, he becomes a mudha, a fool. When one can properly understand the truth about Krishna, one becomes devoted and nirgun, free from material qualities. And he doesn't take birth again in this material world. So just by understanding Krishna's transcendental position, then one becomes transcendental himself by associating with that instead of imposing his own material mind on Krishna. Rather, when one understands Krishna's actual position, he himself becomes transcendental. And as soon as one is transcendental, he is fit to be transferred to the transcendental world, because we have material consciousness, self-interested, selfish consciousness, contaminated by our petty, mundane desires. We stay in the petty, mundane world where we belong. But when we become transcendental, means beyond the infection, contamination of material qualities, then we are fit to be in the spiritual world, the transcendental world, because our natural spiritual qualities come out. Chakvadeyam puna janma naitimam eti suarjuna. One who understands the activities of the Lord in truth, tattva, is transferred to the spiritual world after he gives up his material body. So in other words, the Lord is nirguna, as the verse says. Ajo, he is unborn. Although he is in the material world, does not take his birth in the material world any more than the sun takes its birth on the eastern horizon when it rises each day. No, it's always existing. It is not being created there. So similarly, when the Lord takes his birth, it is not birth like ours. It is done not by Mahamaya, it is done by Swamaya, his own spiritual energy. So, in that verse we heard that he appears to be acting as if he is one of us, but actually he is completely different. Spiritual, he's in control and we are being controlled. Text 7. My dear King Pricket, the material qualities, sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun, the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, and the mode of ignorance, all belong to the material world and do not even touch the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These three gunas means ropes or modes of material nature, these forces that bind, control every living entity, these gunas cannot act by increasing or decreasing simultaneously. So goodness and passion, ignorance, as the Bhagavad Gita explains, they're always pushing each other in the material world. And they're controlling in different proportions. Sometimes the mode of goodness will be in control, sometimes the mode of passion, sometimes the mode of ignorance. But none of these touch Krishna. Not even slightly. He is transcendental. He is beyond. He, again, is working with his own sarup shakti, his own internal energy, not the mode of material nature. When the quality of goodness is prominent, this is text 8, the sages and demigods flourish with the help of that quality with which they are infused and surcharged by the Supreme Lord. So there's three different levels of explanation going on here. One is the level of ourselves as individuals, how the material energy works upon us. and how we are different from Krishna. On one level, we are controlled by the modes of material nature. But Krishna has nothing to do with those modes. Another level is that on the universal level, when the mode of Krishna empowers these modes, because Krishna places his own daivi, that's why we can't escape the modes of material nature by own power, because they are divinely infused with Krishna's energy. Just like when there's a guard in the prison, it's not just you, maybe he's watching you. So it's not just there's one person here and I'm one person, so therefore by my intelligence or by my cunning I'll be able to push my way out. I have my own strength and there's one guard there. No, the whole power of the government backs up that God, even though he may have his own power, his own personal strength, but when he's in that position of guard, he is so much more than his own strength. He has the government's power behind him. So when you're trying to fight him, you're fighting the government, the whole power of the government. So similarly, the modes of material nature, they are insurmountable by any individual, because the power of Krishna, they are daivyesha, they're empowered by Krishna to keep us within the material energy. And also these modes of material nature, the forces of material nature, when the different ones are prominent on the universal level, when the mode of goodness is prominent, then things are maintained very peacefully in the world. And when the mode of passion becomes dominant, things are created. And when the mode of ignorance becomes dominant, things are destroyed. So on the universal level, this is also there. And the third level is on Krishna's level of pastimes. When the mode of ignorance becomes prominent, and Krishna wants to perform his pastimes, the demons, the demoniac forces in the world become empowered. And Krishna plays with this. He uses this circumstance, because the time pushes on. There's cycles. And time pushes these different forces. Sometimes in time, goodness becomes dominant. Sometimes in time, passion becomes dominant. Just like in every day, sometimes at one particular point we feel passion, at another time we feel good, at another time we feel very, very tired. This is time forcing the different changes of the modes of material nature. So this is true again on the individual level, the universal level. And when on the universal level the mode of goodness becomes dominant, the demigods become very powerful. And when Krishna wants to perform his pastimes, he infuses the demigods or the mode of goodness with his own power, because the mode of goodness has nothing to do with him, and he doesn't participate with the material modes of material nature. So he infuses the material modes with his own power, and goodness appears to be prominent, but it's actually Krishna's lila shakti, his own power for making his pastimes appear. This is what's going on. And sometimes, just like when Krishna took his birth, or appeared to take his birth in the material world, when he appeared in this world, the demonic forces were overburdening the world. So Krishna puts his own power in that mode of ignorance or mode of passion, causing something to happen, causing an overburdening, and then he takes his birth, and Kamsa is so powerful that he appears to kill. He's so powerful, this Kamsa, with his demonic power. He subjugates, he puts Krishna's mother and father in prison. and kills the first six children born of Devaki and Vasudev. But this is Krishna's power, his own Leela Shakti, his own Swarup Shakti, his own personal energy working through as if the modes of material nature. So these three different levels are going on. So Prabhupada, or rather this verse explains how time, well, maybe this will come a little bit later about time, but here, when the quality of goodness is prominent, the sages and demigods flourish with the help of that quality with which they are infused and surcharged by the Supreme Lord. So when we're talking, so on the material level, the Lord is infusing these qualities with power, so therefore they're insurmountable. And on the Leela level, he is also infusing them so he can perform his own pastimes. Similarly, when the mode of passion is prominent, the demons flourish. And when ignorance is prominent, the yakshas and rakshasas flourish. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is present in everyone's heart, fostering the reactions of sattva-gun, raja-gun, and tamagun. So in each individual, according to our karma, according to our qualities, according to what we deserve, according to what we've done in this life and in previous lives, we have cultivated a particular mood and mode of material nature. So some individuals are dominated by passion, some by goodness, and some by ignorance. So Krishna is as in everyone's heart, so vasya chamridhi sanavisto. He's fostering, he's impelling these reactions, these tendencies, these forces within each and every individual, and therefore because it's he, as the super soul, as the paramatma in everyone's heart who's doing it, they are insurmountable. They cannot break free from their control by our own power. Here's Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not partial to anyone. The conditioned soul is under the influence of the various modes of material nature. And behind material nature is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one's victory and loss under the influence of sattva-gun, raja-gun, and tamagun are reactions of these modes, not of the Supreme Lord's partiality. So the modes of material nature work as the law of the country works, impartially, according to what the individuals have done. They're under one section or another of the law. So it's not the living entity. It's not the Lord's partiality that he's placing someone in goodness or another person in passion, another person suffering in ignorance. It's the karma of the individual reacting with the material nature, like the law of that the laws that govern the material world. Even though Krishna is behind that, it is not his partiality that has caused the individual situations. Srila Jiva Goswami in the Bhakti Sandarbha has clearly said, Sattvadayo nashanti she yatra cha prakriti guna sasudasava sudebhya pumam adya prasidato. And then from the Jiva Goswami also quotes from the Vishnu Purana this verse, Ladini sandini sambit tvayika savasam stitao lalatapikat Lada tapakari misra tvai naguna virjite. According to this statement of the Bhagavat Sandarbha, the Supreme Lord, being always transcendental to the material qualities, is never affected by the influence of these qualities. This same characteristic is also present in the living being, but because he is conditioned by material nature, even the pleasure potency of the Lord is manifested in the conditioned soul as troublesome. In the material world, the pleasure enjoyed by the conditioned soul is followed by many painful conditions. So what Prabhupada is explaining here is that the internal energy of the Lord, which is ladini sandini samvit, from this verse of the Vishnu Purana that Srila Jiva Goswami is quoting and Prabhupada's including in his purport, that this is Krishna's antaranga shakti. This is his spiritual energy. It's also called sarup shakti, or internal energy. So this, when dealing in the spiritual world, ladini means ecstasy, ecstatic pleasure, ananda. Sandini means sat, or existence. And samvit means knowledge. Chit, chit shakti, or Lord Balaram's potency. So when these potencies, Krishna's internal energy, work in the spiritual world, they cause the greatest ecstasy in the spiritual world. And everything in the spiritual world, indeed Krishna's own body, is composed of Satchidananda. Satchidananda Vigraha, his body, his existence, is existence, knowledge and bliss. And everything in the spiritual world is moving by these. But when that energy comes into the material world, it is reflected into the material world. That same energy is reflected into the material world. Instead of Ladini, Sambit, and Sandini, instead of causing ecstasy and all knowledge, all knowingness, and full eternal existence, it causes lada tapa kari misra. It's all mixed together as misery, lack of knowledge, and temporariness. When that spiritual energy is reflected into the material world, this is the result. So it's a reflection. What we're under is this reflection of the spiritual energy. And being under a reflection, being captivated by a reflection, is so frustrating. Just like if we were to look in a mirror and see our heart's desire in a mirror. We can all imagine what our heart's desire is. But we see it in the mirror and we can't touch it. We can't taste it. We can't hold it. We can't smell it. We can't use it. We can't access it. We can't touch it. All we can do is become frustrated because it's simultaneously there. We perceive it's there, but it's not actually there because it's a reflection. So this is the frustration of the material world. We perceive something is there, but the actual substance of what we want doesn't exist. Very frustrating. So Prabhupada then gives an example of the material world. For instance, so the pleasure, he says, is followed by pain, painful conditions in the material world. For instance, we have seen that in the two great wars, and Prabhupada did personally see World War I and World War II, the two great wars, which were conducted by the Rajagun and Tamagun, both parties were actually ruined. The German people declared war against the English to ruin them, but the result was that both parties were ruined. Well, the Allies were apparently victorious, at least on paper. Actually, neither of them were victorious. Therefore, it should be concluded that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not partial to anyone. Everyone works under the influence of various modes of material nature. And when the various modes are prominent, the demigods or demons appear victorious under the influence of these modes. But everyone is being controlled, so no one is victorious. Everyone enjoys the fruits of his qualitative activities, so the modes are impartial. They're reciprocating with what we deserve, like the judge who impartially awards one sentence. He awards one person $1,600,000, and another person he awards 6 months or a year in prison. So why is he being kind to one person and being cruel to another person? It doesn't have anything to do with his kindness or cruelty or his partiality. It has to do with the law and how they've acted within the material world under the law. So everyone enjoys the fruits of his qualitative activities. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Three verses of the Bhagavad Gita quoted. The manifestation of the modes of goodness can be experienced when all the gates of the body are illumined by knowledge. In goodness, the consciousness, the mind, becomes crystal clear. Completely clear and peaceful in goodness. All the gates of one's body are illumined with knowledge. Immediately one has knowledge, one doesn't identify with the body. That's the product of goodness. Oh, chief of the Bharatas, Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, when there is an increase in the mode of passion, the symptoms of great attachment, uncontrollable desire, hankering, and intense endeavor develop. I'm more familiar with that one. All the gates of the body illumined by knowledge. I want, this is what the consciousness is constantly filled with. I want, I have to do this. You feel that you're being pushed and controlled all the time. I have to do this, overburdened, beaten, forced to move. Want this, I want that. So many desires, so many. And even though we're experienced to know that none of these desires will actually satisfy us, still they force us to act. This is that's why it's called a force, because they force us to act in passion. Intense endeavor, uncontrollable desire, hankering, great attachment. Oh, son of Kuru, when there's an increase in the mode of ignorance, madness, illusion, inertia, and darkness are manifested. Very daivyesha gunamayi mama maya dratyaya. Dratya means very difficult to escape these modes, these forces, the ropes that tie us. But it's not Krishna's partiality. It's our sentence. So of course we're learning how to free ourselves, not by our own power, but by getting some mercy from Krishna. Prabhupada continues in his purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart, simply gives the results of the increase in the various qualities. But he is impartial. He supervises victory and loss, but he does not take part in them. The various modes of material nature do not work all at once. The interactions of these modes are exactly like seasonal changes. Sometimes there's an increment of rajagun, sometimes of tamagun, sometimes of sattvagun. Generally, the demigods are surcharged with sattvagun, and therefore when the demons and the demigods fight, the demigods are victorious because of the prominence of their sattvagun qualities. However, this is not the partiality of the Supreme Lord. Text 9, continuing with this explanation of how the Lord relates with the material energy and ourselves in it, and also and indirectly when he's just supervising it, and also when he enters into the material world or seemingly enters into the material world as an incarnation. So all these different levels are being explained. The next verse. The all-pervading personality of Godhead exists within the heart of every living being. And an expert thinker can perceive how he is present there to a large or small extent. So he's in everyone's heart, and he's pushing these, he's evoking these modes according to what we deserve. So an expert, a person, When he sees the different living entities in this world, he can understand how Krishna is pushing them. They think they're freely acting, but he can understand that Krishna is, by his potency as the super soul, he's evoking different proportions of goodness, passion, and ignorance. He can perceive how he is present there to a large or small extent. So he's when a person who is a pundit, a learned person, looks, he doesn't only see what's externally present before him. He sees Krishna's hand behind everything. Savatra hoya nija ishta deva spoti. He sees Krishna in everything. Just as one can understand the supply of fire in wood and water in a water pot, or the sky within a pot, one can understand whether a living entity is a demon or a demigod by understanding that living entity's devotional performances. A thoughtful man can understand how much a person is favored by the Supreme Lord by seeing his actions. So favored in the sense of he's allowing the mode of goodness to be dominant, or he's because of what the person wants and his fruit of reactions, he's allowing the mode of passion or ignorance to be dominant. So this is a progression of Krishna's mercy on a person, and ultimately when he allows, by his grace, he allows bhakti to manifest in the heart of the person. So ignorance is the lowest manifestation, then passion, then goodness, and then bhakti. So these are different, one can say, manifestations of Krishna's grace. But especially the modes are in reciprocation with what the living entity deserves. Here's Prabhupada's purport, what their qualifications are. Or the sincerity, on the other hand. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam Srimad Urjatam eva va tattad eva vagats tatam mama tejo amsa sambhava. Know that all beautiful, glorious, and mighty creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. We have the practical experience of seeing that one person is able to do very wonderful things, whereas another cannot do those same things and cannot even do things that require only a little common sense. And when one can do wonderful things, what does one think? Just see how wonderful I am because I've done these wonderful things. But is it his wonder? Therefore, so no, it's actually an energy being infused within him through the modes of material nature. It's Krishna allowing the person to do the wonderful things. Therefore, how much a devotee has been favored, now Prabhupada's moving the topic to a devotee, how much a devotee has been favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be tested by the activities the devotee has performed. In Bhagavad Gita 10:10, the Lord also says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upayantite. To those who are constantly devoted and who worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. This is very practical. A teacher instructs the student if the student is capable of taking more and more instructions. So both things are there. There's something descending, and yet there is a qualification there on the individual's part. So it's not just Krishna putting his energy, because that would make him partial. But there's a qualification, a receptivity that the person has, that the student has. A teacher instructs the student if the student is capable of taking more and more instructions. Otherwise, in spite of being instructed by the teacher, the student cannot make strides in his understanding. So two things are there. This has nothing to do with partiality. When Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam, this indicates that Krishna is prepared to give bhakti yoga to everyone. But one must be capable of receiving it. That is the secret. Thus, when a person exhibits wonderful devotional activities, a thoughtful man understands that Krishna has been more favorable to this devotee because of that devotee's devotion. This is not difficult to understand, but envious persons do not accept that Krishna has bestowed his favor upon a particular devotee in accordance with his advanced position. Such foolish persons become envious and try to minimize an advanced devotee's activities. That is not Vaishnavism. A Vaishnava should appreciate the service rendered to the Lord by other Vaishnavas. Therefore, a Vaishnava is described in Srimad Bhagavatam as near Matsara. What does near Matsara mean? Without envy. Vaishnavas are never envious of other Vaishnavas or of anyone else, and therefore they are called Nirmatsaram Satam. So again, Krishna, and Prabhupada will explain, keeps on explaining in this fairly long purport, that Krishna, one is classified according to the mixture of the modes of material nature within him. Krishna instructs everyone, but one's capacity to understand depends on one's own capacity, which is determined by one's the configuration of the modes of material nature that control one, which is determined by one's karma or one's sincerity. We'll read a little further. By external features, one cannot understand who is favored by Krishna and who is not. According to one's attitude, Krishna becomes one's direct advisor, or Krishna becomes unknown. This is not Krishna's partiality, it is his response to one's ability to understand him. According to one's receptiveness, whether one be a devata, asura, yaksha, or rakshasa, Krishna's quality is proportionately exhibited. This proportionate exhibition of Krishna's power is misunderstood by less intelligent men to be Krishna's partiality. But actually, it is no such thing. Krishna is equal to everyone, and according to one's ability to receive the favor of Krishna, one advances in Krishna consciousness. So both things are there. So one is the individual and what his capacity is, and the other is Krishna giving mercy or instructions. So sometimes we ask, we want Krishna to give us mercy, and that's always there. But what is our capacity to take mercy? That's another question. So our endeavor is to increase our capacity. Prabhupada once gave the example, someone said to Prabhupada in a class, "Why are you so merciful to this devotee?" This particular devotee, it was Tamal Krishna Raj. One young boy asked that, and Prabhupada said, "No, it's that he's receptive." And he gave the example of the sun. The sun is shining its rays equally on everyone. But if one person goes out and takes advantage of the sun, and another person goes in his room, closes the blind, locks the door, covers himself with a cloth, what can the sun do? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Prabhupada continues, gives a practical example in this connection. In the sky there are many luminaries. At night, even in darkness, the moon is extremely brilliant and can be directly perceived. The sun is also extremely brilliant. When covered by clouds, however, these luminaries are not distinctly visible. Similarly, the more one advances in sattva-gun, the mode of goodness, the more his brilliance is exhibited by devotional service. But the more one is covered by rajagun and tamagun, passion and ignorance, the less visible his brilliance, for he is covered by these qualities. The visibility of one's qualities does not depend on the partiality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is due to various coverings in different proportions. Thus one can understand how far he has advanced in terms of sattva-gun and how he is covered by rajagun and tamagun. So what does one do if one finds oneself covered by rajagun and tamagun and very, very, very little bit of sattvagun, if at all, it seems? What does one do? Give up? I can't go out in the sun, so I might as well blame the sun or criticize or become unhappy. No, one tries to increase naturally one's sattvagun. But even if one is not successful at that by following the principles, one should think that this is my karma. And I'm so unfortunate, I've done so many improper things in this life and previous lives that I have such a heavy covering of passion and ignorance. It's so difficult for me, the clouds never part and I never see the sun of sattva, goodness. But in any case, whatever karma I have, I am Krishna's servant. So let me serve him with whatever I can, in any way I can, continuously. Let me think of him and serve him as best I can, always. And see how Krishna minimizes the karma. He won't take away our ability to serve him in some way or another. That the modes of material nature cannot cover. Text 10. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates different types of bodies, offering a particular body to each living entity according to his character and fruit of activities, the Lord revives all the qualities of material nature, sattvagun, rajagun, and tamagun. Then as the Supersoul, he enters each body and influences the qualities of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, using sattvagun for maintenance, rajagun for creation, and tamagun for annihilation. So Krishna, again, it's Krishna's force that's in this. Again, on three different levels, on the personal level, on the universal level, and also on the pastime level. He enters into those qualities in his pastimes. And through his own power, his pastimes are going on, not through those qualities. And on the universal level, he enters into these qualities, empowers them. So one naturally asks the question, why is Krishna doing all these different things on the individual level, on the lila level, on the universal level? Why is he undergoing this apparently laborious process that controls everything? And the answer is given in many places. Once, and Srila Jiva Goswami, in one of the Sandarbhas, quotes Sridhar Swami's comment on Bhagavatam 11.3.3, and asking that question, why does the Lord create the material world? And the answer is, so that the individual spirit souls who worship him, who are sadhakas, who are not yet perfect, can become perfect, can reach prema bhakti, can develop their love for Krishna. So another answer that Jiva Goswami gives is that so that Brahma, who wants to do the service of creation of the material world, has as a devotion to Krishna, he can do that. So ultimately, why is the material world there? It's for the devotees. For the sadhaka devotees, so that they can reach perfection gradually or quickly according to their desires and Krishna's mercy. And so that they can hear pastimes about him. Krishna comes to the material world and reveals incredible pastimes, one of which we're going to start hearing in the next chapter, about Lord Nisringadev Prahlad, so that the devotees have something wonderful to talk about, to taste the sweetness of Krishna and Krishna's dealings with his devotees. So for all these reasons, to favor his devotees, so that they can achieve perfection, so that they can join him in Goloka Vrindavan. He comes, he wants them so that they can advance. All of this, just giving the typical example, why is the prison house there? Why does the government invest so much energy, manpower, finances in running the prisons? Is it to run a prison? No, it's to make society peaceful and to bring the prisoners, the ones who have the capacity to be rectified, into free society. They don't want the prison, but it's for the good, to help out of his mercy those who help advance and to have free society. Text 11. O great king, the supreme personality of Godhead, and there's it's very interesting. Jiva Goswami, the word used for great king is Naradev, so he gives an interesting reason why this word is used. O great king, the supreme personality of Godhead, the controller of the material and spiritual energies, who is certainly the creator of the entire cosmos, creates the time factor. So this is how Krishna controls the modes of material nature. He creates the time factor to allow the material energy and the living entities to act within the limits of time. Thus, the Supreme Personality is never under the time factor nor under the material energy. Again, the living entities are controlled by the material energy, goodness, passion, ignorance, and the material energy is controlled by time. But Krishna is, and Krishna's pastimes are above both time and the material modes of material nature. But through the time factor, he controls. Great Acharya Sri Jiva has said he uses the word O King, Naradeva, to explain how the creation of the material world goes on. When Krishna wants to favor his devotees in the ways that we described, so he comes to the material world, and as a byproduct of that, everything else goes on that we think is so major, the creation, the maintenance, the stars, the planets, the changes of seasons, and ultimately the destruction of things, the whole laws of material nature. For us, it seems like everything. But it's incidental, just a natural byproduct of what Krishna wants to do in the material world, which is to help to please his devotees. Just like, and this is why he uses the word Naradeva, just like when a king or a king comes to a place. So what do the newspapers report? The king has come, or the head of state has come, and he said this and this and this. But what else has happened? Everything is clean spotlessly, security is checked, anything that looks broken and run down is fixed, everything is ordered. So many things go on just so the king could come, but the purpose of all those things isn't in and of itself the cleanliness and the fixing and the ordering of things, but it's just to facilitate the king's visit. And those things, that all the decorations that occur, those things happen automatically just by the king coming. So similarly, when Krishna comes to this world, everything else, it's for the pleasure of the devotees, and everything else that we think is everything, everything else incidentally occurs because of the Krishna wants to please his devotees. Or when Prabhupada used to come to a temple, it was one of the amazing thing. As Prabhupada said, whenever I go into a temple, I smell fresh paint. That's what Prabhupada said. And I remember that's why Prabhupada came to Perth, because he was going to Melbourne, and before he could come, because Prabhupada was coming, the whole Melbourne temple got fixed up. And it took so long to fix up, he had to spend 10 days in Perth. He was going to spend 2 weeks, and finally Prabhupada said, "It fixed up or not, I'm coming." But so what happened as a Prabhupada's visit automatically, in one sense, fixed up the Melbourne temple and painted all the rooms in every temple that he visited. And everything was spotlessly cleaned and decorated, and the lawns were kept and the roses planted. Because Prabhupada was coming. Just incidentally to Prabhupada's coming, those things occurred. So, through Krishna's energies, the time factor, the modes of material nature, so much else occurs because he wants to please his devotees. Prabhupada explains in the purport to 11, I think we're going to go on a little extra today because I'd like to complete this up to 12. Time is within his control, for he creates time to act in a certain way. He is not working under the control of time. The creation of the material world is one of the Lord's pastimes. Everything is fully under his control. Since creation takes place when Rajagun is prominent, the Lord creates the necessary time to give facilities for Rajagun. Similarly, he also creates the necessary time for maintenance and annihilation. Thus, this verse establishes that the Lord is not under the limitations of time. Rather, he uses time on the individual level, on the universal level, and also his pastime level. He enters into his own energy enters into the material world for the pastime level, so he can perform his pastimes and kill demons like Hiranyakashipu. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Krishna is the supreme controller, Satchidananda Vigraha. He possesses a blissful spiritual body, Anadi. He is not subordinate to anything. As the Lord confirms in Bhagavad Gita, Mata Parataram Nanyat Kinshirasti Dhananjaya, O conqueror of wealth, Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. Nothing can be above Krishna, for he is the controller and creator of everything. And the final verse, the last word of the Sanskrit word of this verse is Urushrava. And there's another word in this verse, Tat Pratya Nikam Asuram Surapriya. Surapriya, Jiva Goswami gives a comment on that word, and Urushrava also. But we'll read the verse. O King, this time factor enhances the sattva-gun, goodness. Thus, although the Supreme Lord is the controller, he favors the demigods who are mostly situated in sattva-gun. He enters that when he performs his pastimes. He enters that sattva-gun with his own energy. Then the demons who are influenced by tamagun are annihilated. The Supreme Lord induces the time factor to act in different ways. He uses the time factor. He is not under the time factor. But he is never partial. Rather, his activities are glorious, and therefore he is called Urusrav. Urusrav means his glories are widespread. So there's two meanings of widespread. What is the first obvious meaning? His glories are known everywhere. God's glories are manifesting everywhere. But another meaning, which is really an expansion of that meaning, that his glories are widespread, his gloriousness is widespread, and his mercy is widespread. So therefore, everything that he does, whether it apparently, superficially seems good or bad or favorable or harmful to another person, everything is actually beneficial. And that's what we're really going to hear when we hear about Hiranyakashipu, who was so demonic. When he's killed, which seems like a cruel thing to do and a partial thing to do to his devotee Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu is also benefited. Because everything, his mercy, Krishna's mercy, is widespread. Everything that Krishna touches, including the material world, gets benedicted by his mercy, even though superficially it may appear to be something else. So therefore he is called Urusrav. Now we'll just read this purport and then I'll say what Jiva Goswami comment on Surapriya is. O king, so Surapriya means the translation here is Surapriya, who is Surapriya being the friend of the demigods, so therefore he increases the mode of goodness which helps the demigods, but there's another meaning too. But first we'll read the purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9.29, Samoham Savabhuteshu Name Dvesho Stinapriya. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I'm equal to all. The Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be partial. He is always equal to everyone. Therefore, when the demigods are favored and the demons killed, this is not as partiality, but the influence of the time factor. A good example in this regard is that an electrician connects both a heater and a cooler to the same electrical energy. The cause of the heating and cooling is the electrician's manipulation of the electrical energy according to his desire. But factually, the electrician has nothing to do with causing heat or cold, nor with the enjoyment or suffering that results. There have been many historical incidents in which the Lord killed a demon. So Krishna enters into that, using the time factor, he enters in and he manipulates things for his pastimes. Otherwise, when it's not on the pastime level, things are going on just by the time factor and the workings of the material energy, which Krishna also has empowered. There have been many historical incidents in which the Lord killed a demon, but the demon attained a higher position by the mercy of the Lord. Putana is an example. So here's how Krishna is Urusrav, how everything he does is glorious and beneficial for everyone, regardless of what it superficially seems like. Putana is an example. Putana's purpose was to kill Krishna, a whole bakiyam stanakala kutam. This verse is from the third canto spoken by Uddhava to Vidura. She approached the house of Nanda Maharaj with the purpose of killing Krishna by smearing poison on her breast. Yet when she was killed, she attained the highest position, achieving the status of Krishna's mother. Krishna is so kind and impartial that because he sucked Putana's breast, he immediately accepted her as his mother. This superfluous activity of killing Putana did not diminish the Lord's impartiality. He is Suridam Savabhutanam. In other words, he's partial to his devotees in one sense, but in another sense, he is kind to everyone. Even if one approaches him to kill him, he is kind. Therefore, partiality cannot apply to the character of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is impartially kind, who always maintains his position as the Supreme Controller. The Lord killed Putana as an enemy, but because of his being the Supreme Controller, she attained an exalted position as his mother, as a nurse. Srila Madhva Muni therefore remarks, Kale Kala Visha Apishita Dehadi Karanatam Suranikam Eva Stitam Satam. Ordinarily, a murderer is hanged, and in the Manusamhita it is said that a king bestows mercy upon a murderer by killing him, thus saving him from various kinds of suffering. Because of his sinful activity, such a murderer is killed by the mercy of the king. Krishna, the supreme judge, deals with matters in a similar way because he is the supreme controller. The conclusion, therefore, is that the Lord is always impartial and always very kind to all living entities. So Jiva Goswami explains the word Surapriya to bring it to this point of Krishna's partiality to his devotees and how the whole material world is meant for his devotees. Why is Krishna Surapriya? Surapriya means he was dear to the Suras or the Devas, the demigods. Jiva Goswami says Surapriya means those who are dear to the Lord amongst the demigods. meaning the devotees. This is thus the Lord always takes the side of the demigods, for his devotees are amongst them, because the devotees are considered like demigods, because they have all such glorious qualities. So therefore Krishna is Surapriya, for he is dear to those who are dear to the Lord amongst the demigods, which are the devotees. So again, for comes back to the Lord takes the side of the demigods because the devotees are amongst them. So he's partial to the devotees, but his partiality is so great that everyone is benefited. He's impartially kind, but nevertheless partial to his devotees. Thank you very much. Long, detailed class, and you're all very patiently sitting so long, so late at night, attentively listening, sitting on your the edges of your seats. Thank you very much. So tomorrow it lightens up with some, we enter into pastimes. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Surapriya Sri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. All the devotees of the Lord, keep. Yeah.